We're going to do a Lakai, Neshama, page Mem, which follows Ashiyatzar in this Sefer. And the most Siddurim, but not the Siddurim we grew up with. In our Siddurim, it says Ashiyatzar and then Berchas HaTaira, and then a Lakai. It's not a Lakai Neshama, it's a Lakai Neshama. Lakai Neshama means my God, my soul. And your skull is not your God. So every siddur has, every proper siddur has a comma after a lakai. Lakai, comma, neshama shasatami. Our scroll has it this, the traditional way after Berchas HaTaira. So he explains the two shitas before he gets into explanation of the bracha. He says the following. Nechlaku harishayinim, there's a dispute among the earlier sources. Im yaymer berchas hatayra kaidim alakai neshama, or yagdim loymer alakai neshama miyad achar ashiyatzar. Do you say it directly after ashiyatzar? Do you say it after berchas hatayra? So what do you do? What do you do? What? You say it after ashiyatzar? Really? I thought the svardim do like the Beis Yosef. Really? Wow. What do you do? After Ashiyatzar, really? Most people do after Ashiyatzar. That's the other way. Okay. Well, he presents the two shitas. Minogenu, he means the Minig Ashkenaz of the Broya Kehila. Kishitas Hatur, Bahabri Yishayna Vachrayim. Chenu Shitas Hagra. Lahasmich Birchis Alakai Nishaba, Labirchis Ashiyatzar. I think in the yeshiva world, generally the gra is the machria in things that are disputes. And the gra says to say it directly after ashayatzar. That answers, why doesn't it start baruch ato Hashem? Why does it start alakai? So this would answer the question. It's a connected bracha. Ashayatzar, which talks about creation of the body, and the Lakai, which talks about the creation of the soul, of the neshama.
Which seems to make the most sense that that should be connected.
Makes the most sense that they should be connected. V'amechaber, but the Beis Yosef, v'harbei Rishayim, and others like him, seivrim she'ena pesaches b'baruch, say it does not begin with a baruch, me'paras ha'yosef brachas ha'idah, because it's a praise baruchah, brachas ha'idah is einon pesaches b'baruch. He means Berchas Dais don't necessarily begin with Baruch. Now there are very few brachas that we have that don't begin with Baruch. I mean, Yishtabach doesn't begin with Baruch, but it's really Smuch al-Chavrata to Baruch Shamer. And that's what he says. Yesh k'tzas v'asmoish l'zeh. And there is a hint to this sheet of Loshna Gemara. Should take it because she hear when a person wakes up from his sleep. Yaimer alakai neshama. Gemara says that's the first bracha when you wake up. Kemasha anu yaimer ma'ida ani. Nahara nahara upashtei, and every river flows its way. In other words, every custom is proper. Blayishanim in haminig. You don't change your minig. I have no idea what my father's minig was. My father sent me to yeshiva, and in the yeshiva that's what they taught me. Now in the yeshiva world, there's a different teretz as to why it doesn't begin with Baruch. I don't know the original source for it, but there's a teretz that it's a bracha smucha l'chavrta to hamapil. And when you go to sleep, you say hamapil about going to sleep, and then l'kai neshama is the return of the neshama, which is when you wake up. I know the Stipler brings in a brachas. I'm not sure what the origin is.
A couple hours and sleeping seems to be
a half sick. Seems to be a half sick.
It seems to be a little,
bit of a half sick. Okay. If someone has to go to the bathroom, if he can, l'chatchila, he shouldn't daven. If he's going to miss minyan, if he could restrain himself for 72 minutes, then he does.
So if you get up and you have to go to the bathroom,
you should not say any brachas.
So, but you really should say, but then you wind up saying Asher Yatzar first.
Right. If you go to the bathroom, you'll end up saying, which is really okay, because we do say Ashiyatza before Lakai. Only Tilsidayim, though, you could say after you wash, after the bathroom, you say Only Tilsidayim.
Ashiyatza.
It's a Mitzias, for especially as we get older, that's the way to do it. Most people, I think, wake up in the morning and go to the bathroom. It's, You're right.
So you wind up saying Asher Yatzar anyway before, for that reason.
It comes out that way, yeah. Okay, at any rate, this is our custom, one or the other. A surprise, I would think the Sephardim go with the Beis Yosef Shita. What?
Never learned anything else.
I wonder if that Rizal says that way. The only thing about the Sephardim that overrides the Beis Yosef is that Rizal. That's, so I don't know. The Beis Yosef says not to wind seven times around the arm, you know that? Beis Yosef says to just tie it around your hand about the seven times. Maybe it says three, I don't remember that. But you guys do seven. We all do seven. We also do seven. That's because of...
Six and two halves?
Alright, it's seven. The question is, how do you count to seven? Six and two halves or seven? But, be that as it may. Okay, now he gets into the explanation of the bracha.
I couldn't do seven and two halves. It's so big, thick,
Mitzuas.
Oh,
really? You have to stretch your arm a little bit. Okay. Paischin elakai loshin yachid. The reason this bracha, usually we say elakeinu, elakeinu. Most brachas are loshin rabbin. But here it starts loshin yachid. Lahayrais el hayais hanishama miyuchedes. Every single person's neshama is unique. My soul never existed except with me. And there's nobody like it in the world. There never will be. The Torah says that a God blew into the nose of Adam, Nishmas Chaim, and the Shama of life, Amru Chazal, man de nofach, mi toichei nofach. You say mi delay nofach. Ukumaisha kadish baruch hu yachra mi yuchad. Just as God is singular, is individual, vein sheni elaham shaloi lahachbira, keina neshama hi yechida, vein lishne bi Adam nishayma daim lezeh lezeh bidiyuk. And no two people have identical neshamais. V'chol chaykrei nefesh Adam v'tivai, and all scientists, the life force of a human being is something that escapes scientific analysis because it doesn't have a physical presence that can be measured. Okay, the idea of what the neshama is a very elusive thing to try to understand. What the word neshama means, the nefesh achayim or chayim v'lozhana does try to help us understand it. But basically, when I learned nefesh achayim, I realized at the end that I don't really understand it. It's interesting. His language is against Gilgal HaNeshamas. His language is that may olam lahisin neshama sheli ba'olam, that it never, my neshama never existed before. He seems to be ignoring the idea of Gilgal. It's interesting, Gilgal is not found anywhere in Torah Sanigla. It's not found in Gemara anywhere. I remember once somebody asked Rabbi Miller the question and answer period. He asked him about Gilgal. He said, I can't talk to you about Gilgal. I learned Gemara. There's no Gemara about Gilgal. I learned Medrash. There's no Medrash. You got Gilgal. No, it doesn't say, we don't say the Gemara doesn't believe in it. The Gemara doesn't say it. The Rambam doesn't refer to it. Anyway, the Ramban in Eiv says that it was revealed to Eiv at the end, after the whole back and forth of Eiv, at the end, God appears. And everyone, God gives you all the answers. You know, now you can understand the secrets of life. You learn Eiv, you're mitcha to understand the back and forth, the philosophical debates. They get to the end, and finally, God appears, and God's going to answer. And all God does is ask a bunch of questions. It's a whole chapter of Perek, a bunch of questions. Eifa, Yisa, B'yasti, Aretz, where were you when I formed the earth? And it goes through the whole, all of nature and how God controls nature. The Ramban explains that God revealed the secret of Gilgal to Eiv at that time and to us indirectly. The Gra in Yaina says that Yaina is a mashal. Yaina actually happened, but there's, we say this paradise, Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Said. remez is to interpret something in a consistent, a pshat style of remez. Right, drush, you say drush out of pasuk, it's not connected to the next pasuk. Remez is the whole thing is connected in a b'derech marshal. The Gra says that yaina is the neshama, and the entire story is the Gilgal HaNeshamas. Now it's not that the Gilgal HaNeshamas is denied, it's just not discussed in Taras HaNigla. As far as the neshama is mentioned. The Gemara in the beginning of Brachas on Daf Yud talks about the neshama, and there the Gemara says, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the world, and the neshama fills the guf, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tar, and the neshama is tar, etc. In one of the better art scroll books, there's a section called Imponderables. And one of the questions is, where is the neshama? Most siddurim contain an introductory bracha that is said before tefillin are worn in the morning. I should say, contain an introductory bracha that should be said before tefillin are worn in the morning. The prayer contains the words, tefillin are worn, al roishi, for the soul is in the brain. Shanashama shebemaychi. That it's in the head. Is the soul really located in the brain? The Gemara in Brachas said, appears to contradict this. There it says, just as God fills the entire world, so too does the soul fill the entire body. Why do we refer to the soul as in the brain? Shanashama meichi. So when a God blew it in the nose, did it go into the brain or did it go in the whole body?
Maybe
that. So what I bring here are the two opinions and how to explain it. The soul is spiritual, therefore occupies no space in the normal sense of the word. Still, the Ramban in Teres HaAdam rejects the opinion of the Greek philosophers who maintain the soul has no connection to space at all. The Ramban writes, it's a quote, translated to English, it resides in man, perhaps bound by space, perhaps not bound by space, for it has no physical body. And anything without a physical body cannot occupy space. Still, the soul resides in man and is connected to his body. For this small creation, the bright spirit connects the body to life. So the Ramban understands that neshama is the life force of a person. The whole body is alive, so it fills the body. Nefesh HaChayim quotes the Zohar, in which the soul is described as part of the head. How are we to understand this? There are two aspects to the soul. Ramban describes the soul as the life force of man. The soul is also described as the source of man's faculty of wisdom and understanding. Archa Siddiqim writes, Neshama hi hachachma. Neshama is the wisdom. It makes man separate from an animal. This view sees the soul as the portal of wisdom and understanding. If so, we can understand the soul can be said to reside in the head. Lamaisa, there are two aspects to the neshama. It's the life force of the person, and it's also the head of the person, the uniqueness to the head. That exists in the poor person. There's a footnote here that says the following. In a footnote to the longest bracha earlier in the book, we introduced a dispute between the Gra and the Bala Tanya. When the Gra was shown the Tanya, he said there are two parts that are apikursis in the book. That was his opinion. He said the Tanya has two things that are apikursis. The Gra said about the Tanya. So the most famous objection he had was the Tanya's statement that the neshama is everywhere. Let's asra depanyumine. God is everywhere. Which Uncle Moshe Paskin's like. Right? God is here, God is there, God is truly everywhere. He's Lubavitch, okay. So, the way it's written here, the Tanya describes God as everywhere, while the Gra rejects the expression. Regarding the soul too, the Gra maintains that the soul's connection to the body is minimal. It cannot be said to be contained by the body. One who understands the dispute regarding God will see that Gra's opinion regarding the description of the location of the soul follows his opinion regarding the description of the location of God. And basically, it's a very complicated thing, but the Mechtim Eliyahu explains it in great detail. the dispute. The Baal Tanya said Hashem is everywhere. Without Hashem, nothing could exist. Then, of course, the Gra agrees without Hashem, nothing could exist. But there's a side called Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum means that God, Kaviyachol, is mitzamtzem his existence. Where God exists, there can't be evil, there can't be Ra. There can't be Ra in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that, in essence, the Rabbeinu Shalom exists only b'mekaymai, only in his place. And everywhere else, there's a concept of Tzimtzum. Now, to give a little bit of understanding to this, I'm going to paraphrase and not say exactly, but there's an understanding. First of all, let me tell you, the Michtam Eliyahu says there's no argument to grow in the Baal HaTanya. He has a middle shita in which he tries to explain that they both agree. There's one sitting at a simcha with Matthias Solomon, and I asked, the Michtam Eliyahu's writings on this topic are just briefly a Michtam Eliyahu. They're printed in Rav Geltzel, his son-in-law's sefer, has a sefer on Kutchin, which most people don't learn. It's Pilpulim on Kutchin. In the back, he has the letters from his father-in-law, and in the back, I think it's called Chesed Yeshua, he has a fascinating letters back and forth to him and his father-in-law on this topic. I found the sefer in the library in Mir, and I spent days on it. I found it just absolutely fascinating to try to, you can't read it once, you have to read it and reread it and reread it, to try to follow what he's saying. He's trying to make shalom between the two shitas. Rav Matisyo, who learned under Michtam Eliyahu when he was in England, said something to the effect that, oi, Rav Elia, he wanted to make shalom between everybody. That's what he said. He wanted to make peace between everybody. And Lamai said, it was a machlokes. He said that everyone understands this dispute. There's a dispute about how we're supposed to understand the Rabbi Nishon. One of the Gedolim held that this is the machlaikis between the Srafim and the Chayis HaKadosh. We say in our davening, in Kedusha, we say it in davening as well, that the Malachim in heaven praise Hashem, and the Kadesh Shimcha Ba'ilam, Shem Shemakdish Noisei B'Shmei Marayim. Like the Malachim, Korazel Zev Amar, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, Malay Chol Oretz Kevayda. They say, like the Baal HaTanya, that God is everywhere. Oz, B'Koyel Rash Gadol, then, in a Koyel Rash, what's a Koyel Rash? A tumultuous Koyel, Adir V'Chazak, Nashmiyim Koyel, Misnasim, they rise, L'Uma Serafim, against the malachim we mentioned earlier, lumasam, and connected them, mishabchim v'ayimrim, they say, no, baruch kavod Hashem v'mekaymai. God's praise is nafka in his place, and therefore it's a machlok, and it's a dispute between the malachim themselves as to how a person should perceive, or even how the angels should perceive God. We say it in Berachas Kriyas Shema. After we say that the angels say Kadosh, 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 Hayfanim b'Chayis HaKadosh, those are the other angels. Barash Golom Snasim Lumas Seraphim. They disagree with the Seraphim, which are angels. Lumasim Shafim Yaimir Barkavayt Hashem Imekaymai. And they disagree as to how we should perceive God. They say we should perceive God as Bimekaymai. Now, there's no question, these are psukim in Nach, in Yeshaya, and in Yecheskel. In Yeshaya, the Navi says, Malay Chol Eretz Kevaydai. In Yecheskel, he says, Bar Kevayd Hashem Em Kaimai. There is a gra in Aderes Eliyahu on Sefer Yeshaya. The longest piece by far is on the Pasik, Kadosh, 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 and Tzavakais, Malay Chol Eretz Kevaydai. As I mentioned, the Tanya by name, but he explains the idea of Malay Chol Eretz Kevaydai in a way that fits with Baruch Kevayd Hashem Emekaymai. And I'm telling you, as a machlokes between the Malachim, he says everyone agrees with the concept of Tzimtzum, and the dispute is how to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu and understand Kavi Yachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Having said that, I don't profess to understand the depth of the dispute, but the understanding of the Nefesh HaChayim, which is presumably the teachings of his Rebbe. And I have to tell you, the last Lubavitcher Rebbe spent a lot of energy saying that all the Talmidim of the Gra agree with the Baal HaTanya. They don't agree with the Gra. He's paid out letters and letters from Svarim about how, but you know, he's preaching to the converted. He's talking to Lubavitcher and saying everyone agrees with me. But it's a misunderstanding of Rechaim Volozhin. Rechaim Volozhin would not argue with the Gra, not quote the Gra. The Rechaim Volozhin explains regarding the Neshama also that it doesn't really reside in man.
It doesn't
reside in man in the normal sense. He pictures the Neshama, for whatever technical reasons, as a spiral staircase, which is fascinating when you look at the DNA chain. It's just fascinating. He never saw the DNA chain. What?
Double helix.
So he's picturing the neshama as a double helix, which connects the person's head to heaven. He paraphrases, Efes kotseyu tira. God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you could see the edge of God. He says that the neshama barely touches the person. What we have within us is a me'en, is a small kaviyachol piece of the neshama, and that me'en of the neshama resides within a person. He's going with his Rabbi Shita. The things that are purely spiritual can't be said to fill up a physical world or to fill up a physical body. Now, even that, it's like you have a plug and you plug something in, and it gives life to the, it gives power to the machine. It's all generated far away, but it gives power to the machine. The neshama is connected, and it, so to speak, gives power to the person. The person is connected to something that's pure. The neshama is pure, and the appreciation of the neshama is the appreciation of a connection to something that's tahar. You get up in the morning, we say, "Neshama shenasata bi tahirahi." Neshama is pure. He, Rav Schwab, writes, not like the Catholics who say that the neshama is filthy and the only way it can be fixed is by connecting to the whatever it is. But the neshama is sometimes described as naran, neshama ruach nefesh, three parts, and sometimes there's five parts. Yechida, it's not really for this setting, but you're right. It is those points. Okay. Anyway, this is really the kind that Shavu Shasatabi is an appreciation that we're plugged in. You know, there's a connection to something tahar, and if a person rises, a person lifts himself up, he can connect to something that's tahar, that's Efes Kotzei Otira, that we barely touch. Okay, God willing, Thursday we'll try to figure out the language of the rest of this book.
Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Shekhinah, was basically in, let's say, Kadosh HaKadosh. But even when it was there, it was still Melot Kohar, it's Kohodo. It just wasn't in,
Alright, so I'll tell you, the Gemara says that if 10 people learn, the Shekhinah is there. The Gemara says that 3 people learn, the Shekhinah is there. The Shekhinah is there. If 2 people learn, the Shekhinah is there. If 1 person learns, the Shekhinah is there. So why are you telling me 10 people, the Shekhinah is there? 1 person, the Shekhinah is there. There are different levels of Gilui Shekhinah. And, according to the Gra, the Shekhinah resides where it's invited. They say from the Kotzka that the Gemara says, they asked Rav and Abaya, where's God? So one pointed to the roof, one pointed to the heavens. And Kotzka said, if I would be there, they would ask me, where's God? I would have answered, wherever you let him in. And there's a lot of meaning to that. Wherever you let him in, that's where God is. So, you know, when you do things that are good, you learn, you let him in. But otherwise, there's a tzimtzum, there's a void. A person can live without sensing God at all.
But the discussion
I'll explain the Kodesh Kodeshim to you. If you understand like the Gra, which is my Rebbeim, I mean, they didn't talk about it much, but certainly Rav Palm went with this Mahalach, that the Gra's Mahalach, that the Shekhinah is elusive. It's elusive. The Shem is elusive. When you do things that are spiritual, they're spiritual, they're ruchnias, they connect to the Shem. In the Kodesh HaKodshim is the greatest perception of neshama. It's the greatest feeling of neshama. That's why there's no space. The limits of space don't exist. The idea is, the more spiritual you are, the more connected you are to the Rabbi Nishama.